This is hour two of Seems Like Old Times. I'm your host, Craig Orndorff. So nice of you to be here today, and I hope it's a great weekend wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Well, today we're looking back to the third weekend of June in 1942, not only on our countdown, but in our showcase feature. That's right, we're doubling up. Every now and then I like to do this just to change things up a bit. So we have the hits and then some from this weekend 84 years ago. Well, let's get back to the countdown now. Coming in at number 5 on the Billboard sales chart, Jimmy Dorsey and the Orchestra with Bob Eberle and Helen O'Connell.
Tangerine, she is all they claim. With her eyes of night and lips as bright as flame. Tangerine, when she dances by, Senorita stare and Caballero sigh. And I've seen toasts to tangerine raised in every bar across the Argentine. Yes, she has them all on the run, but her heart belongs to just one. Her heart belongs to Tangerine.
Last week, Tangerine was at number 1. This week, down to number 5 for Jimmy Dorsey's band featuring Bob Eberle and Helen O'Connell. It spent 6 weeks at the top spot, the band's 11th number 1. It is June of 1942 on today, Seems Like Old Times. There's a war going on and we're still facing the Depression. More than 3.6 million American men remain unemployed this year, but the number has fallen from the 9.5 3 years ago. The ranks of the unemployed dwindle rapidly as war plants, shipyards, oil fields, and recruiting offices clamor for manpower. And more than 2 million women have entered the workforce. Here's an interesting story. U.S. forces on Guadalcanal find that the Japanese have broken our military code, so they use 29 Navajo volunteer code talkers to transmit radio messages in their native language. Ironically, federal officials have tried for generations to suppress the guttural Navajo tongue, but the volunteers are among those who have kept it alive. And although they lack words for modern military terms, they work out a two-tier code in which English words are represented by different Navajo words. And for the rest of the war, the Japanese would never be able to decipher a code. And just a few weeks ago, this place goes into operation.
Grand Coulee Dam in Washington State, the world's biggest concrete structure. Behind it is stored water from the mighty Columbia River, water to transform 1 million acres of wasteland into productive farms. Through these huge pipes, water is lifted 280 feet from the dam's reservoir to outlets at the headworks, where it pours forth at a peak rate of more than 6 billion gallons a day. More than enough water, if pumped at full capacity, to supply every 24 hours half a dozen cities the size of New York. The world's largest pumps are operated at Grand Coulee Dam by electricity to lift the water used for irrigation. The dam itself supplies the electric current. In fact, the production of electricity is the other major purpose of the dam. The water taken for agricultural purposes after being lifted from the lake behind the dam flows out of another reservoir to start a twisting journey of 60 miles or more through canals, tunnels, and siphons before it arrives on some farmer's land. Into the distribution system rushes the water from its storage reservoir and on to the 6,000 square miles lying in the big bend of the Columbia River. Water on the land, and on the land, crops grow again in the Columbia Basin.
Ed Herlihy with the Universal Newsreel. The Grand Coulee Dam began operation June 1st, here in our spotlight year 1942. And back to the countdown, Glenn Miller's at number 4.
Down Lover's Lane with anyone else but me.
Anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. No, no, no. Don't go walking down Lover's Lane with anyone else but me till I come marching home.
I just got word from a guy who heard from the guy next door to me. The girl he met just loves to pet, and it fits you to a T. So
don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me till I come marching home.
Don't give up with those lips of yours to anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. No, no, no. Watch the girls on the foreign shores. You'll have to report to me when you come marching home. Don't hold anyone on your knee. You better be true to me. You better be true to me. You better be true to me. Don't hold anyone on your knee. You're getting a third degree when you come marching home. You're on your own where there is no phone, and I can't keep tab on you. Be fair to me, I'll guarantee this is one thing that I'll do. I won't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but you till you come marching home.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. I know the apple tree is reserved for you and me. And I'll be true till you come marching on.
Glenn Miller's Orchestra with Marion Hutton, Tex Beneke, and the Modern Airs. Don't sit under the apple tree. Number 4 on the Billboard sales chart this week, but it's tops on your hit parade. It's the group's 3rd number 1 this year and their 21st of all time. And earlier this year, the first golden record was presented to Glenn, whose hit from last year, Chattanooga Choo Choo, had been sprayed with gold by RCA Victor in recognition of selling 1 million copies. Well, let's turn on the radio here in June of 42, see what's coming over the airwaves. Well, the kids are listening to Lone Ranger on NBC now. They outbid Mutual for the Masked Man, but it was Mutual's Red Ryder beating out the Lone Ranger in the ratings. And now Mutual says it'll put Superman up against Jack Armstrong in the fall. Some new shows include The Thin Man, starring Les Damon and Claudia Morgan. There's something described as a spinoff in The Great Gildersleeve. Hal Perry's character had been a regular on Fibber McGee and Molly. People Are Funny debuted in April to go up against Truth or Consequences. Counter Spy with Don McLaughlin started in May, so did The Whistler. And just this past week, on the 17th of June, the debut of Suspense.
Suspense. Stories from the world's great literature of pure excitement. A new series frankly dedicated to your horrification and entertainment.
Well, in the ratings during the days, the top soap operas Life Can Be Beautiful and The Woman in White. Can't miss Kate Smith Speaks at noon. Number one by far on the weekend is The Shadow. In primetime, we find Kate Smith there with her hour-long program Friday night. And then the top five, Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Walter Winchell, Fibber McGee and Molly, and number one, the Chase and Sanborn program with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. They welcome Judy Garland this Sunday night.
Say, Judy, how are you doing with this scrap rubber drive? You know, there's a great surplus of rubber shortage.
Yes. I've been turning in lots of it.
Good.
You know the saying, collect the rubber and beat Schickel Gruber.
Yeah. Yeah, anything that snaps means slaps for the jack. Say, Mr. Noble, what have you given? Huh?
Well, I'm thinking of contributing a tired masseur down at my Turkish bath.
A tired masseur at your Turkish bath?
Yes. Worn out rubber. Jolly good, I
think. Ray Noble comes through with a groaner on this weekend's Chase and Sanborn Hour. And there's some radio highlights from this weekend in 1942. Back on the countdown, Benny Goodman's at number three with the Jersey Bounce. Benny Goodman Band with a Jersey Bounce. It spent 6 weeks at number two, but it was in third place on this day 84 years ago. And the tune was arranged by Goodman's 19-year-old pianist, Mel Powell. The song was so popular, a couple of different aircraft during the war were given the nickname of Jersey Bounce. Well, from Jersey, we head to Idaho with the Alvino Ray Orchestra. Be another month before Idaho showed up on the Billboard sales chart, but it was on your hit parade this weekend in 1942. That was Alvino Ray's orchestra, with the boys in the band providing the melody and a little vocal embellishment from Yvonne King. A brand new disc for our listening pleasure here in June of 1942, and remembered today on Seems Like Old Times. Today on Seems Like Old Times, our countdown is also our showcase feature, the third weekend of June in 1942. And obviously, World War II is consuming the lives of nearly everyone in the world. And it's not just the men marching off to war, but the women are helping out too. On May 15th, the WACS began serving, the Women's Auxiliary Army Corps. The first contingent of 800 members began training at Fort Des Moines Provisional Army Officer Training School in Iowa. Eventually, about 150,000 women would serve in the WACS during the war. The military has a new weapon. Its official title is the M1 rocket launcher, but servicemen have given it the name Bazooka, named after that musical instrument of comedian Bob Burns that he's made so popular. There are a couple of instances of the wars coming to the shores of the U.S. On May 21st, a Mexican tanker was sunk by a German U-boat off of Key West. And just this weekend, an unidentified craft, presumably a Japanese submarine, fired 6 to 9 shells into a sandy waste on the Oregon coast. There was neither damage nor casualties, as the shells landed on an empty beach at the mouth of the Columbia River. But it's believed that that same submarine, one night earlier, lobbed a few shells into the direction of the Canadian government telegraph station at Estevan Point on Vancouver Island. So that's got everyone a little bit on edge, but we're remaining confident thanks to records like this one from the Ink Spots.
I saw a peaceful old valley with a carpet of corn for a floor. And I heard a voice within me whisper, this is worth fighting for. I saw a little old cabin and the river that flowed by the door. And I heard a voice within me whisper, this is worth fighting for. Didn't I build that cabin? Didn't I plant that corn? Didn't my folks before me fight for this country before I was born? I gathered my loved ones around me, and I gazed at each face I adore, and I heard that voice within me thunder, this is worth fighting for.
The other day, we passed through a little old valley, and a carpenter called for a floor. And it seemed there was something way down inside of me kept saying, son, that's worth fighting for. Little further along, we passed an old dilapidated cabin. One of them kind with Old Man River flowing right by the door. Seemed like this thing down inside of me kept on saying, son, that's worth fighting for. So I got to thinking, didn't I help to build that cabin? And didn't I help to plant that corn? And didn't my folks way yonder before me fight for this country way before I was born?
I gathered my loved ones around me, and I gazed at each face I adore. And I heard that voice within me thunder, this is worth fighting for.
The Ink Spots with Hoppy Jones featured on the speaking lyrics on This Is Worth Fighting For. Well, looking down below the top 10 on the Billboard chart this week in 42, I see the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra with Frank Sinatra and the Pied Pipers.
It's the last call for love, time to say fare thee well. Let the taps tell you all that my heart dare not tell.
With your eyes in the stars of old glory,
can I help but be faithful to you?
Till we meet on the day we're dreaming of, it's the last call for love.
Thank you.
Tommy Dorsey's Orchestra with Frank Sinatra and Joe Stafford and the Pied Pipers. Last Call for Love. That was from the motion picture Ship Ahoy, which I left out of my movie listings. A musical comedy starring Eleanor Powell and Red Skelton, and featuring the Dorsey Band. And it was at number 17 on the bestseller chart this week in 1942. Now for the jazz fans, TD's just released a hot new number called Well Get It. Tommy Dorsey and the Band with Cy Oliver's Well Get It, with solos by Heine Bo on clarinet, Don Lotus tenor sax, Milt Raskin piano, and wrapping it up, the back-and-forth trumpet conversation between Ziggy Elman and Chuck Peterson. That record was just released here in the middle of June and would be part of the soundtrack of the summer of 1942. And we're listening to those memories on Seems Like Old Times. Today on Seems Like Old Times, our stroll down memory lane takes us back 84 years to June of 1942. And now let's take a look at sports and baseball. The Yankees lead the Red Sox by 7 games in the American League, while the Dodgers lead the Cardinals by 7.5 in the National. But St. Louis would get hot in September, pass Brooklyn, and then beat the Yanks in the World Series. Some highlights from the diamond. On Friday in Forbes Field in Pittsburgh, Paul Wehner, now with the Braves, got his 3,000th hit. Now, 2 days earlier, Wehner hit a ground ball that bounced off a fielder's glove and was originally called a hit. But Wehner didn't want number 3,000 that way, so he signaled to the scorekeeper that it was an error. And then he got number 3,000 on a clean single on June 19th. Meanwhile, back on May 13th, Wehner's teammate, pitcher Jim Tobin, hit 3 consecutive home runs against the Cubs. He was the only big league pitcher in the 20th century to hit 3 homers in a game. In the NHL, Toronto lost the first 3 games of the Stanley Cup Finals to Detroit, but they rallied to win the final 4 games and win the title. And that's a check on sports from here in June of 1942, and we're back to the countdown now at number 2 with Harry Babbitt, Trudy Irwin, and the K. Kaiser Orchestra.
wouldn't love you, who wouldn't care? You're so enchanting, people must stare. You're the dream that dreamers want to dream about. You're the breath of spring that lovers gad about or mad about. Who wouldn't love you, who wouldn't buy the west side of heaven if you just winked your eye? You're the answer to my every prayer, darling. Who wouldn't love you, who wouldn't care? People must stare. You're the dream that dreamers want to dream about. You're the breath of spring that lovers gad about or mad about. Who wouldn't love you? Who wouldn't buy the west side of heaven if you wink your eye? You're the answer to my every prayer, my darling. Who wouldn't love you and who wouldn't care? Love you, who wouldn't care? You're so enchanting, people must stare. You're the answer to my every prayer, darling. Who wouldn't love you, who wouldn't care?
He just celebrated his 37th birthday this week in 1942, James Kern Kaiser. K. Kaiser, out of Rocky Mount, North Carolina. That was Who Wouldn't Love You. Vocal by Harry Babbitt and Trudy Irwin, it spent 8 weeks at number 2 on the sales chart and was a million-selling record. Well, some more news and notes from 1942. Mentioned gasoline rationing's already started. Farmers are generally able to obtain all the gas they need for the tractors. Sugar rationing began in May, after people created scarcities by hoarding 100-pound bags of it, and businesses have filled their warehouses. Weekly ration averages 8 ounces per person. Soft drink companies are allowed enough sugar to meet quotas of 50-80%, and Coca-Cola will set up small bottling plants overseas to keep servicemen supplied with 5-cent bottles. And troops are carrying K rations packed by Chicago's Wrigley Company, named for a University of Minnesota nutritionist Ansel Keys. They contain defense biscuits and compressed graham biscuits, canned meat or a substitute, 3 tablets of sugar, 4 cigarettes, and a stick of chewing gum. But here at home, Kellogg's has introduced Raisin Bran to the stores, and Florida becomes the leading U.S. producer of oranges, passing California. Meanwhile, Claire McCardle designed stretch leotards to provide an extra layer of warmth for college girls who were living in chilly dormitories because of the wartime fuel shortages. And from the obituary page, actor John Barrymore passed away on May 29th at age 60. And trumpeter and band leader Bunny Berrigan died June 2nd at a New York hospital from cirrhosis of the liver. He'd been hospitalized in April and told by doctors to stop drinking and take a break from playing the trumpet. He did neither and suffered a massive hemorrhage. He was just 33. And one of the last songs he recorded had this ironic title, Somebody Else Has Taken My Place. Vocals by Kay Little.
Thank you. you've made. Little you care how much I have paid. My heart is aching. Please keep it from breaking. Somebody's taking my place.
Kay Little on the vocals for the Bunny Berrigan Band, the great trumpeter in memoriam, this weekend in 1942.
Every time you use Lady Esther For Purpose Face Cream, you help give your skin the exercise it needs. Because, you see, Lady Esther Face Cream does not one, but four important things for your skin. Not only does it thoroughly cleanse your skin and remove the stubborn dirt from the mouths of the pores, but it's especially designed to work with nature and help to restore your skin to its normal activities. Women say it's thrilling, really thrilling, to see how Lady Esther For Purpose Face Cream seems to wake up the skin. Many of them say it makes their skin look younger and smoother than it's looked in years, and after very few applications, too. So start using Lady Esther Face Cream. See how this one cream by itself helps keep your skin looking its youngest and loveliest.
That's the elegant voice of Bess Johnson, who grew up in Elkins, West Virginia. That's just a few mountains over from me, and everyone in that town speaks just as gracefully and refined. All right, all you West Virginians, quit laughing at that. Now, Johnson was one of the highest-paid radio actresses, along with being the voice of Lady Esther. She starred in the soap opera Hilltop House. Now, the next lady we're going to hear was also one of the biggest radio stars. It's Kate Smith. And she was born in Greenville, Virginia, not far from my home in the Shenandoah Valley. And this was her latest record in 1942 with the Jack Miller Orchestra, I Threw a Kiss in the Ocean.
You'll say it's a dream, a lovely dream. I say it happened, strange as it may seem. I spoke last night the ocean. I spoke last night to the sea, and from the ocean a voice came back. 'Twas my blue jacket answering me. Ship ahoy, ship ahoy, I can hear you, sailor. It floated out on the sea, and from the ocean a kiss came back. 'Twas my blue jacket answering me.
That's K. Kate Smith with an Irving Berlin song, I Threw a Kiss in the Ocean, accompanied as always by the Jack Miller Orchestra. One of the sounds of June 1942 on Today Seems Like Old Times. We're rounding the turn and heading for home on Today Seems Like Old Times. But before we get out of here, some things to take care of, like the website reminder, oldtimesradio.com, and the wildly popular archive show section. Hey, if you want to send me an email, it's Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at oldtimesradio.com. And of course, you can follow Seems Like Old Times on Facebook and Twitter. Well, here's a final bonus tune from this weekend in 1942. That's been our showcase feature today, along with our countdown. Another war-themed tune. Once again, the Jimmy Dorsey Band with Helen O'Connell. Wonder When My Baby's Coming Home. Wonder When My Baby's Coming Home. Helen O'Connell singing for the Jimmy Dorsey Band. Survey song number 22 this week in 42, the only week it was on the chart. And now we're up to the number one song from this weekend in 1942. But first, more news headlines from the war. British agents helped Czech patriots assassinate Deputy Gestapo Chief and Reich Protector of Czechoslovakia, Reinhard Heydrich. President and exiled Beneš had given orders for the hit. The death of the one they call the Hangman brings swift and brutal retribution. The Nazis burned the Czech village of Lidice on June 6th after executing every male in reprisal for the assassination. 173 men were massacred, reportedly one did escape, while the women of the town were abused. And news of atrocities from Poland too, 15 Poles, including 12 women, are publicly hanged in the city of Poznan. The bodies were left hanging for 48 hours as a warning. On June 7th, Japanese forces invade the Aleutian Islands of Alaska. It's the first invasion of American soil in 128 years. But a big victory for the Allies came on June 7th, one that many are speculating may have changed the course of the war in the Pacific, the Battle of Midway. William Graves reported.
I remember the tenseness preceding action, waiting for the range to close, the captain in huddle with other officers, and then saying, "Ready, Bill, ready, John, let her go." I remember the sheets of flame which came up and almost blinded us from our guns, filled the sky before our eyes, and then the shells as they started on their way. Fireworks more spectacular than any 4th of July. Pinpoints of red winging their way toward the target in a cluster, then to burst on the target in geysers of flame and smoke. The first target left a distinct impression, As the salvo hit the cruiser, she seemed to disintegrate on the spot in a sheet of flame and go down by the bow with her screws still turning. There was only a pall of smoke where she had been before. The other targets went almost the same. In those crowded minutes, we shifted fire rapidly from one target to another with hardly a pause between salvos. I can remember the captain standing there in that indescribable noise and confusion, always the complete master of the situation, coolly shifting fire to engage each target as it appeared. The first touch of realism for myself occurred when a direct hit on the captain's cabin below sent up a sheet of flame before my eyes. Other reports from all over the ship indicated that misses were falling both short of us and over. It was a ghostly feeling to realize those shells would probably soon find their mark. It was a moment of doubt for all of us, most of us anyhow, fearing the magazines would blow up. And then the captain stepped up and looked down and said, "Hell, we're all right." That was the turning point for most of us. Confidence returned again.
That's Captain William Graves reporting on the Battle of Midway for the Mutual Broadcast System. Our code breakers had discovered that the Japanese had planned to attack the U.S. fleet again, but we had a trap waiting. It didn't start well with the torpedo bombers, but the dive bombers came in behind them and did the damage. Four Jap carriers destroyed, and the Japanese had to withdraw. We lost the carrier Yorktown and the destroyer Hammond, but Chester Nimitz and the U.S. Navy could now go on the offensive. The Battle of Midway, earlier this month, 1942. And here stateside, the number one record on the Billboard charts this week is from the Harry James Orchestra, Sleepy Lagoon. That's the second chart-topping record for the 26-year-old Harry James, Sleepy Lagoon. It spent 4 weeks at number one, including this weekend in 1942. Well, that's it for this week's show, everybody. We are all out of time. It's been great having you here, and I look forward to you coming back next week. And until we meet again, this is Craig Orndorff signing off for Seems Like Old Times.